Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Chet Amud Aleph, on the last of the narrow lines. Shabbat Igamanal Mai. On Shabbat, where you have the shoes as well, what's the din? Here we're discussing traversing waterways to get to one's Rav, to visit someone who's Yoter Gadol Mimeno, whether it's his parents, whether it's Rav. We had permission on Yom HaKippurim for the person to traverse the water up to his neck in order to reach them. Question now is the Gabei Shabbat, where you are wearing shoes, as opposed to on Yom Kippur, where you can't wear shoes anyway. On Shabbat, is this also permissible? As far as the water is concerned, you have the same problem as Yom HaKippurim, problem of Schita, that we don't worry about. The problem of Rechitza, we also don't worry about. The only issue we have now is on Shabbat is the shoes, because the shoes might get lost in the water, and then he'll come to carry the shoes. Or, when he's entering the water, he'll carry the shoes. Tamar Nechemya Chatnei Debei Nisio, Nechemya, the son-in-law of the Nasi, Ana chazite le Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi. I witnessed Rabbi Ami v'Asi dematu arkuma demayo, that they reached a pool of water. Vavru aderech malbush, and they walked through it totally dressed without any questions. The Gemara says, all right, tinach min al. That's good with a shoe that is well tied onto the person's foot. Sandal ma'ika lemeimar. Talking about a sandal which is much looser fitting. What's the din on Shabbat? Amar Rav Rechumi, ana chazite le Ravina. Davar derech malbush. I saw him go fully dressed through the water, implying that he walked through even with a sandal. On the other hand, Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says, sandal lechatchila lo, a sandal you should not do lechatchila. Bidiavad, if you happen to go through with the sandal, we'll say okay. But if you ask us up front what the halacha is, we're going to tell you don't go with the sandal because you have that risk that the sandal will loosen, and therefore you'll end up carrying it on Shabbat. So we say that it's okay to traverse these waterways when you're wearing shoes that are well tied onto your feet and will not loosen in the water. On the other hand, when you're wearing sandals that can easily slip off your feet, then we would recommend that you don't cross the water like that. If you do cross the water, then we're not going to say anything after the fact. Now, Reish Galuta Iglal Hagronia, the Beit Rabbi Natan. Reish Galuta came to give the shir, Pirka, if he did this in the house, or the Beit Midrash of Rav Natan. Rafram, Bekulu Rabbanon. Rafram and the remainder of the Rabbanon, Atul the Pirka. They came to the shir. Ravina lo Atul. Ravina didn't come to the shir. Machar by Rafram lafuki Ravina midate the Reish Galuta. Rafram wanted to help Ravina in the eyes of the Reish Galuta to think that he wasn't just lazy or didn't want to attend the shir of the Reish Galuta, so he wanted him to give the reason that he didn't attend. Amalei, my time. So he asked Ravina in front of the Reish Galuta, why didn't you attend the shir yesterday? He says, my feet were hurting me. I had an injury on my foot. I couldn't walk on it. So he says, you should have put on shoes to walk there. You covered your feet. It was the top of my foot, not the bottom of my foot. And therefore, the shoes would have been difficult for the foot. He says, Ibayin Lamirma, sandala. Then you should have wore a sandal, which would cover the bottom of your foot, but not bother the injury on the top of your foot. Amalei Urkuma Demaya Hava Borcha. There was a pool of water, or a waterway that I had to traverse to get there. Ibayin Lachamevre Derech Malbush. Said you should have gone through it fully dressed, like we've seen now, until now, that you're permissible to do that, both on Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim. Amalei Lo Sabra Lamar Alahad Amar Ravashi Sandal Lachatchila Lo. So Ravina said back to him, don't you hold of Ravashi's principle that by a sandal, the chatchila, if you ask us up front, we would not allow you to go in there. So I knew that din, and therefore I could not cross the water with one of my sandalim. Tani Yehuda bar Gugorit, asur leshev agabi tina b'yom HaKippurim. It's asur to sit on moist, muddy ground on Yom Kippur. Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, ubetina mitafechet. It's only a case where this ground is so moist that it actually wets the person who sits on it, then it's problematic. Amar Abaye, ubetofeach, amat ahatfiach. It's only in a case where the moisture is so great that if you get wet, that you would also wet other objects. This is an important principle or important shiur with regards to Yom HaKippurim and Tisha B'Av. The only isurim with regards to Rechitza are at levels of tofeach, amat ahatfiach. That is that the moisture has to be so great that if you were to get wet, then that item can now wet something else. That is considered to be wet enough to be classified as rechitza. Less than that is not considered to be rechitza. Amar Rav Yehuda, mutar litztanen beperot. It's mutar to cool oneself off in fruits. Others have the girsa amar Rav, that it's mutar litztanen beperot. And now we're going to have examples of items that you're allowed to cool yourself off with on Yom HaKippurim and don't have this problem of rechitza. Rav Yehuda, mitztanen bekra, used to cool himself off on Yom Kippur by sitting on squash or a gourd. Rabba mitztanen biyinoka. Rabbi used to cool himself off by sitting on fresh twig. Others say that it refers to a little baby. He'd rub himself up against a little baby. And Rava mitztanen bekasa dekaspel. And Rava, on the other hand, used to cool himself off with silver utensils. Now here the box, which is around the gear saw of Rava and Rabba. And the Gemara says, even with regards to the silver vessels, we have to qualify that, because Amar Rav Papa, Kasa de Kaspa Malay Asur, if it's a full silver cup or goblet, then you may not use it, because it's likely that the water will spill out of the cup and get you wet, so that you can't use. Aser, on the other hand, if it's not full to the top, then it's shari, then it's mutar, because it's unlikely that you'll spill the water. The pachra, on the other hand, earthenware utensils, idi asur, doesn't matter how full water it is, it's asur, mishom, the mishchal shchachil, because they sweat, they ooze, they are somewhat permeable, and therefore the water will be felt on the outside if there's water on the inside. Rav Ashi Amar, that's the Girsa of the Riv, Kasa de Kaspa Choser Nami Asur. Even if you have a Kasa de Kaspa that's not full to the top, it's Asur Mishum de Mizdarif, because it gets slippery, it's very smooth and slippery, and it might slide out of your hand and spill the water onto you, and therefore we won't allow it. Ziri Bar Chama Ushpizchin de Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asti, Rabbi Yeshua Belevi, Utukula de Rabbanan de Kesari. Zer Bar Chama was the host, was the bed and breakfast for Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Shum ben Levi, and all the Rabbanon from Caesarea. Amar Leh, the Rabbi Yosef, braid Rabbi Shum ben Levi. The host said to Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Bar Aria, son of the lion, but here meaning important one, Ta'im Elecham Miltom Al Yoto. And let me tell you a great thing, to have Avi Rabuch, that your father used to do. Mit Pachar Ayalo, he had a towel, Berev Yom Kippurim, Bishore Oto B'mayim, he used to soak it in water. And then he used to squeeze it out to make it into like a dry towel. And the next day he used to use it to wipe off his face, his feet, and his hands. Erev Tisha B'Av, he'd do the same thing, soaking in water. And then the next day he'd wipe it on his eyes. Now, V'chein, there's a question, the Gra eliminates that from the Girsa. Giyato Rabba Bar Mari Amar. They bring a towel, they used to soak in water, he'd leave it under his head, and then he'd wash his hands, his feet, and his face with it the next day. They bring a towel, they soak in water, then they squeeze it out so it's almost dry, and the next day he used to use it to wipe his face. The difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim is that on Tisha B'Av there's no problem of schita, so we don't worry about the water that's contained within the towel, the possibility that he'll squeeze it out. Whereas on Yom Kippur, we worry about schita, so he has to do the schita prior to Yom HaKippurim to remove the water from the towel. That's the way to read it. Rashi brings an alternative way to read this and says that on Erev Yom HaKippurim, he used to wipe his hands on this towel after they were wet, and then he would leave the towel over to utilize on Yom Kippur itself, because he had wiped his hands on it and had that moisture that was left in it. Amar Leh Rav Yaakov, the Rav Yirmiyah Bar Tachlifa, Ipcha Martan, didn't you just tell us the opposite of this, mean that you reversed what they did on Yom Kippur with Tisha B'Av? Ve'otivnach schita, and I asked you about the problem of schita. I said, how could it be that on Yom Kippur they had the soaked towel, and on Tisha B'Av they had squeezed it out? It makes more sense the way that we just had it brought down. Yet you told us just the opposite, and that's why I challenged you about the story, because it sounded like it was schita, or a problem of schita. Because according to the second reading of Rashi, where in one instance, I mean on Yom Kippur, he wiped his hands on the towel and utilized it on Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av, he soaked the towel and then squeezed it out, then the question here was the same thing. You told us just the opposite. And even after you squeezed out the towel, there's still water left in it that you could do schita. And that was the question according to that second lashon in Rashi. Amar Rav Nashi Bar Tachlifa, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Barchano, Shalu et Rabbi Elazar. So we have a question here, a sugya of the Gemara that has nothing to do with the Gemara that we just read, but the continuation does, and that's why it's brought over here. Rav Nashi Bar Tachlifa, in the name of Amram, in the name of Rabbi Barchano, says they asked Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat in Eretz Yisrael, Talmud Chaver, Rabbi Yochanan, second, third generation of Amor in Eretz Yisrael, Zachain, V'yoshev Yeshiva. So an individual is already elderly, he's been in the Yeshiva, been in the Yeshiva for many years, according to Rashi, he's a part of the Beit Din. Tzarich litol rishut atir b'chorot v'eino tzarich. Does he need to ask permission in order to give a psak halacha with regards to b'chorot, whether it's considered a mum or not a mum in the b'chor? There's a mum in the b'chor, then it can be eaten, it can be shecht and eaten as chulin. There's no mum in it, then it technically had to be brought up in mikdash, and since there's no mikdash today, you wouldn't be able to utilize it. It'd be called a shim that can't be utilized. So, makami bailuhu. What was the question? Hachi kami bailuhu. This was the question. Kihad amar Rav Idi Bar Avin. This is what Rav Idi Bar Avin says. Dabar zein yichu lohem the benisiyah. This one item they left over to the house of the nasi. Kedei litgaderbo. In order that they should be unique in this area, that they should have some dominion over the halachic process. And that is, tzarich litol rishut. that you have to ask permission from the Bein Nesiyah in order to be Matir Bechorot. It was not for halachic reasons that you have to ask them, because the people who were going to go do this were qualified. The only reason they had to ask permission was to give deference to the Bein Nesiyah. So they left that one item with the Bein Nesiyah, which became much more of a ceremonial position. They left it with that individual so that he could grant that permission, even though, again, it wasn't a halachic issue, but they left that with them. So the question is, this individual is already elderly, does he have to ask Rishut? Or Dilma, came into Zakim, Yosheb Yeshiva, and Tzarich. Or because of his age, and because of his duration in the Yeshiva, and the Beit Din, he doesn't have to ask. So Amar Rabbi Tzadok ben Chalukah, Raglav. Tzadok ben Chalukah gets up, Amar, Ani Re'itid, Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Shezakim Yosheb Yeshiva Hayah. I know this story about Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, who was exactly this type of individual. V'amad b'malem mizigno shelzeh, and he was older than the elder of the current Nasi. Meaning that he was older than either the grandfather or someone who was a predecessor to this Nasi. And he still asked permission, despite the fact that he was older, he still asked permission of the Beit Nasi, and that would answer your question. You have to ask permission, even if you are older, and even if you are qualified, you still have to ask. That was not the incident, and so therefore your proof is not good because you're bringing an incorrect incident. This was the incident. Yossi ben Zimra Kohen Haya. Yossi ben Zimra wasn't just any Zakhen Yosheb Yeshiva, he was actually a Kohen. But Hochi Gami Bailei, this is the question he had. Halacha Rabbi Meir, is halacha like Rabbi Meir? This is a machloket in Bechorot. If there are suspicions about you with regarding a certain type of item, then number one, lo dono, you cannot be a judge, velo meido, and you cannot be an aide. Meaning, are you completely rejected from dealing with anything in this category? So for instance, with regards to the Bechorot, the Kohanim are Chashudim. Kohanim are Chashud either to put a mum in the animal or to be Matir Mumim that are not real Mumim. For the Kohen, it's a big problem. Until there's a mum in the animal, it's Kodesh, and he has to continue to feed and take care of the animal. As soon as there's a mum, it becomes Kulim, and it's his money, and he can do whatever he wants with it. So the Kohen has a vested interest in seeing the animal have a mum in it. So he can either accelerate that process by physically putting a mum in there, or he can say there's a mum in there, and he can be matir a mum. So the Kohanim are not trusted with regards to that, because they're nogea b'davar. So that's the question over here. When he's nogea b'davar, do we say, therefore, Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, the Kohen here, is completely pasul with anything to do with Bechorot? Because he's chashud on his own Bechorot, we don't let him get involved in it at all. Odim alochi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He's not neman on his own items, because there is no geba davar. When we're dealing with a third party, there's no reason for him to lie or to do something wrong, because he's not a no geba davar. Ein adam chote vein olo. Person doesn't sin for the benefit of someone else, so he's not going to lie about it. You could say that there's a problem of collusion, which the Gemara discussed over there. But assuming that there's no problem of collusion between the Kohanim, can he then be matir other people's bechorot, even though he is a Kohen? And the Beit Nasi, when he went to ask this question of the Beit Nasi, in this case, we'll be assuming that the Beit Nasi is the halachic authority, halacha ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He told him halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that he is mutar to be matir bechorot. So he was not asking permission to be matir bechorot. That he didn't need to do, because he was old enough. But on the other hand, in terms of his being a Kohen, he wanted to know who the halacha was like. And that he got the psak that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he can be involved in being batir bechorot. And if that's the case, we have no proof as to whether a person who is older than the Nasi, or someone who has been in the yeshiva for so long, actually needs to go and give that respect to the Nasi to ask permission to be batir bechorot. The two came bailuhu, and he also asked him this question, and that's why this Gemara is found over here. Ma'alut sebe sandal shel sham beyom ha'kipurim. Is it permissible to go out with bamboo shoes on Yom Kippur? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, al raglav. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani got up. Amar, ani reitid Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Sheyatza b'sandal shel sham b'yom ha'kippurim. He went out with a bamboo sandal on Yom HaKippurim. V'aminan lein, I said to him, b'tanit tzibur mai. What's the din in regards to a public fast day for rain? Amalei lo shna, doesn't matter. For either of those, you can walk out with these shoes. These are not a violation of nilata sandal on Yom HaKippurim or on a tanit tzibur. Amar Rabbi Barchana, ani reiti et Rabbi Elazar de min Ninveh, yasa Rabbi Elazar from Ninveh, shiatza b'sandal shel sham b'tanit tzibur. He went out with these bamboo shoes on a public fast day. V'amilei b'yom HaKippurim mai, what's the din with regards to Yom Kippur? Amalei lo shna, it makes no difference. Rabbi Yehuda nafak b'dehitni, he went out with shoes made out of reeds. Abaye nafak b'dehutzi, he went out with shoes made out of palm branches. Rabbi Nafig bit, the way we have an argirsa is bedivle, which is like twisted reeds. The Aruch has a girsa of dikule, which would be also something along the lines of palm branches or palm leaves. Rabba Bar Huna Karek Sudrat Hare, he used to wrap his feet in cloths, so Nofi can go out. And then we see here from all of these instances that the problem is simply wearing leather shoes, but to cover your feet or protect your feet is not a problem. So the problem of Niyat Asandal is solely around leather shoes, but not other items that protect your feet. And Niyat Asandal is defined as a leather shoe. Now you could ask the question, which is a fair question then what is the inui of Niyat Asandal? Like for today, for instance, where we wear shoes that are comfortable, sometimes even more comfortable than leather shoes, what's the din with regards to Niyat Asandal? So first of all, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a piece that says that the issue of Niyat HaSandal, especially on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippurim as well, is a problem of us demonstrating our dominion over the animal kingdom. The fact that one wears leather shoes is you're taking the animal skin and then you're putting it under your feet and you're walking on it. That shows man's dominion over the animal kingdom, that he can utilize it for his own purposes. So if a person wants to humble himself, he wants to show humility, he takes off his shoes in order to show that. Not any shoes, but takes off his leather shoes to say, as if I'm taking away that issue of dominion, I'm now lowering myself down, and because of that, now I can come before Hashem, whether it's on Tisha B'Av Avelut, or whether it's on Yom HaKippurim for Kapara, because now I've lowered my stature, I've lowered myself, and that's the appropriate way to approach Hashem. And that's how he explains this issue of leather shoes versus other types of shoes. We heard from Rav Asher Weiss also that Mikra Din, it is correct that you do not have to abstain from wearing other shoes besides leather shoes, although it does say that there might be an inyan in some instances for people to wear things that are not exactly the most comfortable, but he didn't go as far as to say that it would be asur to wear those items. Now, Meitiv Rami Bar Chama, Akita Yotzei Bekam Shalom. Crippled individuals are able to go out with his artificial leg. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Oser. This with regards to Shabbat. Is an individual allowed to go out with their prosthetic on Shabbat? So we see Rabbi Meir says it's fine. Rabbi Yossi says it's not fine. Betani Allah, Vishavin Shasur Letzeipo B'Yom HaKippurim. They both agree that it's problematic to wear it on Yom Kippur. So what the Gemara's problem is here, is that here we have a prosthetic or wooden artificial leg or foot, and we're saying that you can't go on with it on Yom Kippur. We just established before that the reason all these other items are mutar is because they're not leather. And here you have a foot or prosthetic that's not leather. So why shouldn't he be able to wear it on Yom HaKippurim? Amar Abaye Hatam Dit Bak Titin. Over there, the case is that it had cloths in it, umishum tanu, and the problem is pleasure. So Abaye answers the question. He says he puts cloths inside of it. And the cloths inside of it make it very comfortable. And therefore, it's a problem of tanu. It's a violation of inui. So he says the problem is here is violating inui. Now, Rova challenges that and says there are two problems with your position. Amarle Rova. Vi lav monohu, titi mishavale monu. Number one is, if the prosthetic itself is not considered a kli, then all of a sudden putting gloss or something nice inside of it, that's going to make it into a kli, that's going to make it into a shoe. Because as far as Shabbat is concerned, they argue about whether it's a shoe or not. Then all of a sudden, Yom Kippur, everybody agrees it's a shoe just because you put some cloths inside of it. That doesn't make any sense. Number two is, since when is it asur to get pleasure on Yom Kippur? That's not the din of Yom Kippur. The problem of Yom Kippur is the inuim, the chamesha inuim. The only pleasure you can't get is from a leather shoe. You can get other pleasure. And since here, if he just puts it in a soft spot that he has a prosthetic on, why should that be problematic on Yom Kippur? We know that because we had these examples before. The Rabbi Bar Huna went out and wrapped his feet in cloths and went out. So we see that even though that was protective of his foot and that was some sort of pleasure for him, that he was allowed to do that. Vod Miktani Seifo, the latter half of that Mishnah also says, Im Yesh Lo Beit Kibul Ktitim, if it has a receptacle for the cloths in it, Tameh, then it is Mekabel Tumah, because the prosthetic without a receptacle is not mekabel tumah because it's not a kli. But if it has a receptacle, then it becomes a kli and it becomes mekabel tumah. So if it has a receptacle for cloths or for soft things to be put in there, then it becomes tameh, miklau. From that you would infer the reisha la bedit lekitite maskina, that the reisha is not talking about a case where he has soft items that are placed inside of it. So for both of those reasons, Rabbah says, I think, Abaye, your explanation of what's going on in that Mishnah and Shabbat is incorrect. Number one is, the only tanug, the only pleasure that is asur, is those of the chamesha dinuim. Pleasure in general is not asur. And since this is not a leather shoe, it should not be problematic. Number two is, you think that the issue here is that he put in titim, and that's what makes it into a shoe. But that's not true. Number one is, that should make it a shoe. And number two is, the latter half of the Mishnah already says that if he has a receptacle for these titim, these soft things, then it becomes a kli lekabel tumah. The fact that it mentions those items only in the seifa means that the reisha is not talking about that. Elomer Rova explains the case like this. Olam de kuli amma min alhu. everybody agrees that it is a shoot. This is what they're arguing about on Shabbat. So everybody agrees the prosthetic is the equivalent of a shoe for him. Now, if it's equivalent of a shoe, then on Yom Kippur it's asur, and on Shabbat it should be mutar. You're allowed to wear shoes out in the public domain on Shabbat. It's not a problem of carrying. So then why does Rabbi Yossi say it's problematic? So he says, this is their machloket. Mar sever gazrin and dilma mishtamit vatili tuya da'an amot. Afraid that it's going to slip off, and then he'll end up carrying it. Mar sever lo gazrin, and the other one says, we're not goes there for that. We're not worried about it slipping off and him carrying it. Now here there's two large Tosafot dealing with this issue of the prosthetic. The latter Tosafot, they argue about what exactly this kav is that we're discussing over here, Machloket Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri. The most important thing to come out of this Tosafot is, if there is some aid that an individual used that makes it possible for him to walk, and without that item, he would not be able to walk, it's no problem on Shabbat to have that. So for instance, he talks about arm braces. Those are arm braces or staves that people use to walk. If the person cannot walk without them, then there's no problem to use them on Shabbat, because that's not considered carrying. That's facilitating the walking, and that's not a masui. Same thing with a prosthetic. Anything that a person puts on that facilitates their ability to be mobile on Shabbat, that's considered okay to wear, and it's not considered a masui. On the other hand, if this is an item a person could be mobile without, then it's problematic, because then it could slip off, and then you could carry it because you're able to walk without it. But if you're unable to move or be mobile without it, then that item becomes like a part and parcel of your clothing, and it's not a problem. So this is a big het there with regards to whether it's crutches, canes, decks, or prosthetics on Shabbat, that they're not problems in terms of carrying if they are the thing that facilitates the person's ability to move or be mobile on Shabbat. Right now we'll finish off the Gemara Tanur Banan. Tinokot mutarim bikulan chutz minilata sandal. Tinokot are mutar and all the inuim on Yom HaKippurim except for wearing shoes. Where it says, Maishna nilata sandal. Why isn't nilata sandal any different? Damrinche avdule, because what people are going to think is that his parents put it on him. And we know that just like we are restricted from doing certain isurim, we're also restricted from causing tanim to violate those isurim. So if they do it by themselves, we may not have to stop them. That's a separate machloket. But assuming we don't have to stop them, then despite that, we're not allowed to help them to do the isur. So here by shoes, where we'd have to facilitate that or do it for them, there it would look like the parents were a part of the isur. Gemara says, Anach Nami, Amrinche avdule chitza v'sicha. If he got bathed, he got washed, and somebody anointed him, then people are going to say the same thing over there. They're going to say that the parent did it for them. So, Imar met molavde. So no, they're going to say he did it yesterday. He was washed or bathed yesterday. He got his anointing yesterday. Everything was taken care of yesterday. That they can assume. So, So the same thing with his shoes. We'll say that they put them on the night before. They put them on before Yom Kippur. It says, Sandaloefshar did met molavde. It's not possible that he put on the shoes the night before. Damar shmo, hayimandubay the mitam tama de mituta. If a person wants to taste the taste of death, l'say misane, you should put on your shoes or the gane and go to sleep. So the fact is that people don't wear their shoes to sleep because it's, as Shmuel says, either dangerous or not a pleasant feeling, and therefore nobody would put on the shoes on the kids the night before. So therefore on Yom Kippur, where it's clear that the parents put on the shoes, that's problematic. Whereas regards to the other Inuim, they all could have been done beforehand. Vaha mitarim lechatchila ktani. That's a nice explanation, but our statement over here says that if you come and ask us, should we do these items, we would tell you go ahead and do them on Yom Kippur itself. So that doesn't make it sound like it's a question of marat ayin, or people think you did it the day before, or did it on this day. If you came and asked us, can you wash your kid today? We'd say, go ahead. Can you feed your kid today? We'd say, go ahead and feed him. These are that are not essential to the growing of the child. The Rabbanim would go there about them. Those things that are essential to the growth of the child, they were not go there. Rabbi says, my mother told me, it's not literally his mother, but the woman who brought him up, because his mother passed away when he's very young. How do you have a child grow? These are the stages in which you help that child to grow. First of all is maya chamime umishcha. Bathe them in warm water and you rub them in oil. Gadal purta, if he gets a little older, biata b'kutcha. And then you feed him eggs with kuteach. Kuteach is a Babylonian dip that involved sour milk, bread crusts, and salt. Gadal purta, if he gets a little more older, vurei mane. Let him break kelim, let him break things. Kihad rabba, like rabba, zovin lahu mane gezize de pachra. Libnei, he used to purchase broken kelim for his kids to play with, and they broke them. You have to give them an outlet to play. You have to give them items to play with, toys, and those toys have to be age appropriate, which is that they can break them and they can take them apart and throw them around. So they gave them kelim that were breakable. They didn't have plastic in those days. They didn't have things that were non-breakable. So they gave them the closest thing to what we would call plasticware, which is a kli cheres, earthenware utensil that was already cracked or broken, and they let the kids play with that because if they broke more, it wouldn't be a big deal. But you see here that these things are essential in terms of bathing and eating. These are essential items for the growth of the child. So those things, the Chachamim, did not preclude with regards to Yom HaKippurim. That the kids can do, and the parents can feed them and take care of them. But Nilat HaSandal, which is not essential for the growth of the child, there they were, goes down Yom Kippur and says that the child can't wear shoes, and the parent can't put shoes on for the child. This little Gemara here happens to be a big proof for those who say that the Isurim on Yom HaKippurim, the Inuim, outside of Achilah and Shtiyah, are all Dirabanan. Because over here you see that you can do it L'chatchila. Parents can go and help the child with these items. If they were really Isurim De'oraita, why would it be permissible for the parent to help the child do an Isur De'oraita? With regards to feeding the child, we understand that because that's a hanat nefashot, and that's why the parent can engage in that. With regards to washing the child and other items that you would do for the child that are assumed on Yom HaKippurim, why is that permissible? So that's very difficult because there's no such dispensation. There's a problem of lo tachilum. You're not allowed to feed them actively, cause them to do isur. And if it is an isur doraito, then how do you explain this gemara? If it's the rabbonon, like the gemara explained over here, it sounds like it is the Rabbanan, and therefore they can play around with the dinim because the Rabbanan set the rules. So you have to go back to, as we said in the past, all the different reasons why things might be asur, and therefore the rechitza, according to the Urayim, is only rechitza gogufo is asur. So rechitza vekatan, with less than gogufo, that would we permit over here because it's only the Rabbanan. The others, like the Ran and the Ramban, who say that the Isurim are d'oraita, but be determined by the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan set the rules. Or if you learn, like, those that say it's only problems of Tanug, then the rechitza of a child is not for the pleasure of the child. You're doing the rechitza because the child is soiled. And that's the type of rinsing or cleaning that you can do of the child. And even an adult could have done that on Yom HaKippurim. So you have to give those other explanations. But many of those that believe that it's the Rabbanan read this Gemara as one of the proofs that the Isurim of the Inuim outside of Achilah and Shtiyah are only the Rabbanan because of this dispensation for adults to help the children out with these items, as well as the fact that with regards to Chinuch, we only see what's called Chinuch Shaot. With regards to fasting, we see that there's a preparation of children to fast on Yom Kippur, but that's not true by the other Inuim. How come there's no other Chinuch by the other Inuim? The Kesef Mishnah answers on behalf of those that think that's d'oraita, including the Rambam. In the Beit Yosef, he says the same thing. The difference might be that those that are explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk, that we do chinuch for. Those that are not explicitly in the Pasuk, but only limudim, those we don't do chinuch for. Okay, we'll stop over here.